Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
6:13, Tuesday morning, June 10th. It's hot and muggy and miserable, and this could be that way through October. And Peyton Malone earlier saying a chance for maybe some heavier showers, but you know, they say stuff sometimes and they change the forecast up. I don't know if they're just changing it to make it sound different, because it just seems like every summer day there's a chance where you could get caught under a heavy thunderstorm. And if it rains a lot, the streets are going to flood. And that's life in New Orleans, right? Let's talk about grocery prices. Patrick Penfield joins us now, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. How you doing, professor?
Good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm well. You know, I was saying the other day, I went to the grocery store and I barely had the stuff out of the shopping cart onto the conveyor belt, or whatever you call that thing. And you know how they got the little screen where you can follow it? And the kid ringing up was up like to like $145. I'm thinking, whoa, slow your roll here. Hang on. I don't even have out of the basket yet. We're up to $145. That's anecdotal. And I think we all have anecdotal stories. But how do you go about measuring where grocery prices are in the United States, or separating this grocery from that grocery, et cetera?
Well, Tommy, I can tell you this. I do the grocery shopping for my wife and I, and I noticed the same thing. It just seemed like I had, you know, because I'd buy the same stuff over and over again every week, and then my prices just went up a lot higher. So a lot of times, we're looking at, information that's published from the USDA, and, there's some good information, some bad information. So, Tommy, first the good, egg prices have dropped. Right, okay. So I did notice that yesterday.
I don't eat eggs, but for those that do, that's good news, I guess. And I guess eggs are a staple in a lot of different things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's a good thing. But to let your listeners know, I think this is going to be kind of a seasonal thing. It'll be seasonal pricing. So you'll see egg prices drop in the summer, and then they'll start to pop back up in the fall and in the winter. And that's because of the avian bird flu. Mm. And so we're seeing a new strain that's coming to the United States. And so that would be my expectation. I think that's what we've seen the past couple of years. So seasonal egg prices. So, let your listeners know that's probably what to expect.
Now, when it comes to beef, I've been kidding around saying I didn't even look in the beef section because I didn't want somebody to profile me as being rich and mug me in the parking lot. But what's going on with beef prices?
Yeah, overall meat prices have gone up too. And it's just because the cost of feed, the cost of labor, we've had interesting conditions, weather-wise, droughts and rain. And so it's just causing issues, causing pressure. The other thing are people are eating more beef, more meat. And so it's just causing prices to go up. I think, Tommy, some other things that I've seen price-wise going up, canned food and drinks, you're going to start to see that go up anywhere from 9 to 15%. And that's just because of the tariff that we're getting on metals. So 80% of the tin that we use for cans, we import. So your listeners should expect to see that with canned foods and drinks.
As you say that, I know, I drink Diet Coke. I don't have a lot of vices in life. One of them would be Diet Coke. I enjoy a Diet Coke every now and then. But I think I had like 3 6-packs, whatever it was. It was just crazy, $28 or something along those lines. Has the price of soft drinks gone up a lot? sodas?
Yeah, they've gone up. And again, I think you'll see them go up even more because of the impact of tin. So, it's just the all the inputs that go into making your sodas, and that's really what's causing prices to spike. But I think for the most part, we're probably going to start to see again. You're seeing this in the grocery store, bananas. I saw that. That shocked me how much they went up. And so bananas aren't that expensive per pound, but still, just how much they went up was kind of crazy. Coffee, avocados. Tommy, the one thing that really blew my mind was laundry detergent, right? And that's gone up, which is kind of crazy. And Procter & Gamble's kind of announced that would be an issue. But I was shocked at how much went up, just buying some laundry detergent yesterday.
So what's the reason for that, Patrick? Laundry detergent.
All the inputs again. Yeah, chemicals that go into it that we import, the cost of labor, the cost of the actual container itself. So all that stuff has gone up. And so the overall price of the detergent has gone up. So the chemicals are really the big one because they import a lot of those chemicals from China and India.
So I'm trying to keep track of, actually I'm not, because I gave up trying to get, that's a lie. I'm not trying to keep track of tariffs at all. I don't, because it's going to change every hour. I don't even try anymore. But so let me ask you this. You're the professor. What effect do tariffs or have tariffs had any effect on any of the products? Or does that have anything to do with the increase in prices that we're seeing at the grocery store? Or is there any way to tell?
Yeah, absolutely, Tommy. And it has, and it is, I think the one tell I always see is how much the government collects each month on tariffs. So somebody is going to be paying that. And that usually is the people that they're importing that stuff. And so, we've been collecting a lot from an import tax standpoint on those tariffs. So, that's the unfortunate thing. And so, again, with your listeners, you're probably going to start to see this now. Again, food prices, I think we talked about before, is what you'll see first. I think the other thing besides tariffs is this issue with farm labor. So I don't know if you or your listeners know this, Tommy, but 50% of farm workers in the U.S. are undocumented migrant workers. So I'm, we talked about this before. I believe in strong borders. I believe in making sure that, we have the right protocol to have in place in order to get people in and out. However, that being said, the farmers are suffering, and this is something we're going to see a lot of this summer. They're having difficulties just trying to harvest. And there was a Florida farmer that just plowed under his tomato crop because he had nobody to pick them, which is crazy, right, Tommy?
So let's game this out. And I'm like you, I'm for strong borders. I understand all of that. But every effect has a reaction. Every action has a reaction. So if ICE sets up outside of farms and starts arresting undocumented workers, then what happens to the food supply, food chain, et cetera, all that stuff?
Yeah, so unfortunately what will happen is that the farmers can't pick the stuff, so they'll plow that stuff under just because it's cheaper to do that versus to have somebody try and pick it. Mm-hmm. And then what will happen is that we'll have to import more vegetables and fruits, and then the overall price of that stuff will go up.
So long range, what's the solution here? Because it seems like if you don't, I don't know how much undocumented workers make, but I got to believe it's less than somebody that would be in the country legally because, either they're willing to work for less or they can be taken advantage of. You can view that however you want, but I would think just economically that's a fact, is it?
Absolutely. And that's the unfortunate thing is, we have a very low unemployment rate and nobody wants to go to pick fruits and vegetables, here in the United States. And so I think the only thing that we can do is have some type of, visa farm program, where we can actually bring in, these workers to come in and harvest this food. But, we're going to start to see the effects of that shortly. And so, unfortunately, this is not going to be a good situation for the food supply chain.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. That's, every situation in the economy is like a puzzle, right? And there are different pieces of it. So you take this piece out, something else, and then something's missing. You don't have a complete puzzle. So if we take out undocumented workers, I think what I'm hearing is it's going to result in either higher prices or more imports, but those would be subject to tariffs, which would result in higher prices, perhaps. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Patrick Penfield, professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University. Again, nobody's arguing for weak borders. Nobody's arguing for undocumented.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Workers just telling you what's going to happen if these undocumented workers go away. 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with Professor Patrick Penfield, a professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University, about grocery prices, and we got into undocumented workers and the effect on prices. The person that had texted in prior about no Trump bashing said, way to go, TT, it's Trump's fault, lovely. And then somebody else texted in and said, why are you acting like this is groundbreaking news? This was predicted prior to the election. Trump told us everything he was going to do, and now people are shocked that he's doing it. You can't decimate a labor sector without consequences. You get what you vote for. Those are two political outlooks. I'm not talking about the politics of this at all. I'm talking about the cause and effect. And it seems like some people can't get past the politics, Patrick, when it comes to just talking about, all right, if you, it's like an ecosystem. If you change this, then over that's going to change, right? You can't change one without having changed somewhere else.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tommy. It's like you said, it's a puzzle. It's like a kind of a Jenga tower, right? So, yeah. You know, you move one thing and then one thing goes. So, you know, I think this is what, again, this is what we should be doing, is discussing these things, right? Kind of understanding what's happening with prices. And I think for all of us,
from a policy, not a political standpoint, Patrick, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Tommy. This is nothing against President Trump. This is just, hey, we're just trying to understand the ramifications and the issues that are caused because of changes in policy.
If you do this, that's going to happen. If you don't do this, that's going to happen. So that's all we're saying here. So looking ahead to this Jenga puzzle, to the tariffs and everything else, I said before the break, it seems like if you do away with the undocumented workers, then either you're going to have to pay Americans to pick the produce, which is going to be a lot higher labor if you can find them to do the jobs, or farmers are going to plow the crops under, which means we have to import fruits and vegetables or do without, I guess. I don't know. Patrick, take me through this. Play it out.
Yeah, absolutely, Tommy. So that's kind of what you'll see is, again, the farmers are going to say, hey, this makes sense to, you know, to go ahead and harvest the crop just because it costs too much and they can't get enough on the market to recover that cost. So that's what will happen. We'll see, you know, the supermarkets will import more, and then they'll have to pay more because of the tariffs. In addition, again, supply and demand, right? So again, if there's not enough supply and there's more demand, then prices will go up. So, yeah, it's a kind of 1-2 punch. You'll see that in addition to the tariffs, and, you know, that's what's going to cause prices to go up.
And I didn't even mention farm subsidies yet, because the government also has, not President Trump, the government in general for decades has had their thumb on the scale when it comes to farmers and subsidies, right, in production?
Yeah, absolutely, right. So the government does help farmers, you know, because of the cost of, you know, of doing business, right, to make sure to ensure that we have food in the food supply chain. So this is going to kind of, you know, push things back a little bit more, and you might even see the government having to step in and to help the farmers even more.
I asked the government means either print more money, which adds to the national debt. Again, not making it political, just practical. If you change this side of the scale, that side happens. Either print more money and add to the national debt, or you raise taxes. Is that accurate? Or you cut spending
Absolutely. So something else is going to suffer, or you know, we're going to have to do something else in order to compensate for these increased prices.
I asked the Commissioner of Agriculture last Thursday a question about grocery prices, and is this the new normal, and do they ever come down? And I know throughout my life, going back to when I was 20 and first got married and was shocked at how high then grocery prices were, which is laughable when you look at the price now, this is the new normal, right? They don't come down once they go up.
Yeah, Tommy, you're right. It's, unless it's like a commodity like eggs, you know, and the issue is if it's like a packaged food, usually if those prices go up, they stay up. But if it's a commodity like eggs or milk, a lot of times you'll see some type of fluctuation there. But for other things, yeah, those things will stay up.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Professor. Again, not looking at it politically, just trying to explain the situation from a policy standpoint. It's like a scale. If you take something off of here, then something happens on the other side. We'll come back, talk about the legislative session. It ends 2 days from today. We'll recap some of the big developments and more when we return. Time now, WWL First News. It is 6:45, quarter till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Next hour, we're going to talk to Robert Posen, a president of George W. Bush's Commission to Strengthen Social Security. He served as Secretary of Economic Affairs under then-Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. So this guy is a bona fide Republican, okay? Conservative. And he is going to talk about, for an hour, a tipping point when it comes to national debt, because we hear about big, beautiful, and I'll say it's in the eyes of the beholder, bill, and what's going on in Washington and national debt. And we're going to really drill down for an hour on what it would look like. And once we do tip, if there is a tipping point, how do you come back from it? First, though, we stay local and talk to David Jacobs, State House reporter for La Politics Weekly, about the legislative session. How you doing, David?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Tell me, if you were to give me an executive summary on the session so far, what would it be?
Well, I mean, insurance was probably the biggest issue throughout the session. As you know, the governor and the insurance commissioner weren't exactly on the same page for insurance. They were mostly focused on auto insurance this year. Last year, they did a lot on homeowners insurance. And they passed a lot of stuff that, you know, that the industry wants, changes to the legal system that they say are driving up costs for insurers and therefore for people who buy policies. They will tell you, however, that one particular bill that the governor supported that gives the insurance commissioner a lot more authority to deny, quote-unquote, excessive rate increases. Basically, they're arguing that that gives arbitrary power to a government official over the business sector that they think goes too far. And they say that that could basically overwhelm everything that they liked about the session and make the problem even worse. But as with most things, it's going to depend on who you ask. You know, Landry and Temple were definitely not on the same page last year, but it really came to a head this year where the governor was really just taking shots at the insurance commissioner, kind of openly. But he's the governor. He's the one with the veto pen. He's the one that ultimately drives the agenda. So he got what he wanted. It'll just, you know, it remains to be seen whether ratepayers get any relief out of any of this.
Yeah, that's the big question, I guess, is whether or not it's going to really show any benefits or not. When it comes to the other things, like some of the silliness, the health, contrails, the bill that they passed, the foolishness along those lines. I just want to talk to you about the politics of this, David. Although it is seemingly inconsequential, the contrails bill, it disappointed me when I see who voted for this. Is that just vote trading? Is that what was going on there? Or they didn't want to get caught on the wrong side of a hard right issue or something? Explain that to me, because that one's got me scratching my head.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and speak for all the folks who voted for it. I will say that for a lot of legislators, something like that even if you think it's dumb, and I'm not here to tell you it's dumb, but even if you think it's dumb, it probably is mostly inconsequential. But it's one of those things that can be important to a very, very small subset of people who can still make your life a little bit more difficult as a legislator.
That's the only reason I'm asking about it. Because, look, it doesn't. What's the expression, a tinker's dam? It doesn't make a tinker's dam. Any final analysis? I'm just wondering the politics behind it. So that's what it is. It's like, you know what? What the hell? Why not? It's not going to matter anyway. Let me go ahead and vote for this. I might need them down the line. That's the way the political process works.
That's part of it, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Let's talk about the other things of the legislature, the taxes, and has the fiscal situation of the state, and as it relates to any changes in the tax code?
Well, so the House did pass some further tax cuts this year. You, of course, remember last year they had the tax session where they did a lot of this work already. But there are a lot of legislators who want to keep going in that direction. Basically, the goal you hear the most often is they want to get the personal income tax down to zero. They want to be like Texas or Florida and not have that personal income tax. And the House didn't bring it to zero. The House kind of moved to make some further cuts, which the Senate shut down. Basically, they said, we're not quite sure if we're going to be able to afford this. The outlook looks okay for the state financially right now, but they just made all those changes last year. So they kind of want to see how things play out. Predicting revenue for the state is involves some guesswork, even in the best of times, and especially when you've just changed a lot. They also aren't quite sure what's going to be coming down from the federal government. The federal government pays, you know, almost half of the state budget, basically. So they don't want to overextend the state, not knowing what the level of federal spending is going to be going forward. So, you know, 2027 is a fiscal session. That's our next fiscal session. It's also an election year. So if folks are looking for more tax cuts, 2027 is probably the year where you might see more movement in that area.
Let me take a break. We come back. I'm going to talk about what's likely to happen in the next 3 days. Are we going to see any kind of whirlwind activity? I want to talk to you about the governor's Gator program and some other things. We're talking to David Jacobs, State House reporter for La Politics Weekly, about the session that's about to end. We'll talk about some winners and losers as well. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 3 days left. I'm sorry. 3 days left of the legislative session. 6:57, 3 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to David Jacobs, State House reporter for La Politics Weekly. Going into the session, David, what was the governor looking to accomplish? I know the Gator program, the scholarship program, was a big thing for him. What is that looking like? How's that going to turn out?
Well, he's not going to get anywhere near as much money for it as he wanted. Essentially, it's going to be limited to, they gave him basically half. The Senate basically gave him half of what he was asking for. He was asking for around $94 million. He's getting around $45 million. Those numbers might be slightly off. That's approximately what it is. The Senate has, as the Senate often does, the Senate kind of played the bad cop on this one. They basically said that they were concerned about the program getting too big, too fast, getting out of hand. At one point, the Senate president even said that he was afraid that there would be special schools started up just to take advantage of this state program. So he's still getting his program. The program is still going to go forward, but it's not going to be expanded. It looks like to the extent that he wanted to. And this is what the governor's baby, this program. So the House could still add it back, and we could perhaps see some negotiation on that area over these next couple of days, but we'll see.
What got your attention, David?
Other than things we haven't talked about, I think the DOTD shakeup has been potentially a big deal. That is something that the governor kicked off with an executive order last year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of tricky because part of the reason for overhauling DOTD is to convince legislators to give DOTD more money. The gas tax has been raised in over 3 decades. But legislators don't want to give DOTD any more money until they can be convinced that DOTD is using the money it's getting wisely. So they're kind of in a catch-22 with DOTD here. And it kind of remains to be seen whether any of these overhauls are going to make things move faster in terms of road projects, or if it's just kind of, you know, moving chairs around on the Titanic kind of thing.
Thank you, David. Appreciate your time. David Jacobs, State House reporter for La Politics Weekly. Stay tuned, because we're going to spend an hour with a guy that worked at the highest levels of federal government, a conservative, to talk about the debt limit and the debt that this country's facing.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.